Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on the Hearts of Flame discipleship journey that my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, along with Steve Thigpen, took a group of people on, which was March 14th through the 23rd, 2017. And today we have three short recordings for you. The first took place at Caiaphas House, where Dad shared on Luke 22. The second took place at Golgotha, where Dad shared on Luke 23. And the third is the group singing some songs in the upper room.
Okay, we've just come out of the pit at Caiaphas House. And again, if you didn't get the reference, that is Psalm 88. That makes the reference of the messianic prophecy of Jesus being kept in the pit. And he said, darkness, you know, is my only companion, basically. And so we know that Jesus was brought out of that pit early Friday morning, and he was marched before Pilate, where the Sanhedrin saw to it that he would be crucified. You know, in Jerusalem, we have to go back and remember the question that we began with at Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? Because the week of the Passion of Christ, people had two responses, either crown him or crucify him. Either the Palm Sunday chant, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, or crucify him. And some of the same voices that were saying, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, undoubtedly, by the end of the week, they had been swayed by the religious society to say crucify him. So we have to say, who is Christ to us? Is he king? Or would we rather just wash our hands of him and let him be crucified? And we stand here at the, you see behind us now, the Mount of Olives. And you see the southern stairs. We just came from the upper room where Jesus demonstrated love and service to one another. And we come here in the courtyard now of Caiaphas. In just a moment, I will show you over to the left, over where Dara is, the Roman road or the Roman walkway has been excavated. More recently, they've excavated it. And it is actually, these are the steps that they would have led Jesus out of the Kidron Valley. From Gethsemane, after arresting him, they would have led him through the Kidron and up these very steps, up into the house of Caiaphas and ultimately into the pit. But there was a trial in the middle of the night, a mock trial of sorts. You know, evil usually does its work at night, and it certainly was no different here. And so we read these words. You see the statue here where we have Peter, and he's being questioned about, aren't you one with the Galilean? And he is, you know, he's in full throttle denial. Here at the bottom of the statue, you have Luke 22, verse 57. And I'll come to that in just a moment, but let me kind of read it in context. Luke 22, verse 54. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And we keep hearing the roosters crowing up here this morning as a remembrance here at the Holy Rooster Church, Peter at Galicanta. The sense is that he told him, you will know when you have denied me. And when that alarm went off, it must have been a startling moment. Because it says in verse 61, at that moment, as the rooster crowed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that look? He was listening all along. Then Peter remembered that the Lord had said, "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. The guards in charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and said, "Prophesy to us, who hit you that time?" And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. Jesus was led before the high council, and they said, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" But he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand." They all shouted, "So are you claiming to be the Son of God?" And Jesus replied, "You say that I am. Why do we need other witnesses?" they said. "We ourselves heard him say it." And so this is where the trial took place. Maybe it was an open, you know, courtyard, and the trial was under roof, but, you know, open air. It was spring. And so this is the place. I keep saying that, but sometimes it's hard to believe that we are standing in the very place. I'd like for us to have a prayer here as well. Just ask the Lord to help us to apply what we have heard to our very lives. And let's pray for us, whatever's on your heart.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to fellowship and to come here and to journey and to learn more about you and to be made believers.
Yes.
And to follow our hearts and to do what's right. In God's name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. So we are standing at the traditional site of Golgotha Calvary. This is the rock. In a moment, you'll be right up here at the top of Calvary. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to read beginning in chapter 23 and verse 26. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed. People will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left." I like to pause there and say, three men were being crucified. One was dying to sin. That was the one who said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." The one to the other side was dying in sin. He continued to curse Jesus till his death. The one in the middle was dying for sin. And that, of course, was our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened to the cross above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews."
One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has not done anything wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise." By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And of course, this is the place where Jesus said, "It is finished."
Lord, make me like you. Make me like you. You were a servant. Make me one too. Oh Lord, I am willing. Do what you must do to make me like you, Lord. Make me like you. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
That is the upper room.